Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome back. Another week of Health Talk Radio. I'm, of course, Donald Snowden. Hope everybody's been having a good week so far. I hope you had a good weekend last weekend. And you're having a productive week. You're feeling good. You're looking good. You're feeling healthy. Ms. Florence, welcome. Mr. Snowden, welcome. Tonight we're going to continue our series on calcium deficiencies. And one of the things about calcium deficiencies are if you're calcium deficient, you can get around about 147 diseases just from being calcium deficient. And so when you have a calcium deficiency, the body does not function as normal. So we look at things like bone problems, joint problems. But we also don't look at things like high blood pressure, which is a calcium deficiency. We also don't pay attention to the fact that we have 206 bones in our body. And those 206 bones in our body all need the right amount of calcium. So it's very hard to make sure that we're getting all the calcium we need unless we're on a complete calcium regimen, and I'll talk about what complete means in a little bit. But you get things like kidney stones, and you will go to the doctor, and the first thing that the doctor will tell you is, you got kidney stones, so you must have too much calcium. And that is absolutely true, but it's also not true. And here's the not true part of it. Your body has something called a parathyroid. Has nothing to do with the thyroid, but it's near the thyroid in the neck, and it looks like 4 grains of rice. And that parathyroid is what regulates calcium in the body. So what happens is your body is calcium deficient. So the first thing it will do is it'll ring the alarm and say, hey, I'm low on calcium. I'm really low on calcium. I need some help. And a parathyroid will say, okay, we'll go get some. And what that will do is it will start to pull calcium from your bones, from your teeth, from the mandible and your jaw. And it will feed the body it will pull as much calcium or more than it truly needs. And when it pulls all that calcium from the body, that dries up your blood calcium level. And if you have a high blood calcium level, that's a telltale sign that your body is using itself, calcium factory. And so it'll pull all this calcium, and then it will take it and it'll deposit it, what it doesn't need, into the system, which is how you get kidney stones. But if you're on a calcium, you're getting the right amount of calcium in your diet, whether you're taking it on a regimen or you are supplementing properly, because you just can't take calcium by itself. You have to be on a regimen of getting calcium, because we cannot eat enough food to get calcium. You cannot drink enough milk without getting so much of the bad stuff from milk, and I'm talking about cow's milk, to get enough calcium. You can't drink enough almond milk to get enough calcium. These things are fortified with calcium. So all of those things together will get you close. But you have to have, and not just calcium by itself, because calcium doesn't absorb into the cells. It doesn't absorb into the body by itself. Calcium needs magnesium. Calcium needs glucosamine, vitamin D3, chondroitin, strontium. It's like baking a cake. You don't make a cake with 2 ingredients. It takes several ingredients to make a cake. And the body has to be right to be able to accept it and to absorb it. And when I say the body needs to be right, that means you have to be able to absorb nutrition. And a lot of people can't because they have damaged intestines, small intestines, from gluten intolerance. And a lot of Americans have digestive disorders. So it's very hard to absorb those things into the body. But calcium is one of those things that's super hard to get into the cells. So we must supplement with it, but we can't just take calcium by itself. Write that down. And so, therefore, we got to continue to keep going. We got to continue to understand that the body in and of itself needs a protocol. It's not just, oh, let me go take this when I need it, or let me go take that when I need it. It's actually needing to understand what goes on. And because you get about 147 different diseases just from being calcium deficient. So therefore, we have to go into, and I'm doing this as a series because there's so many diseases that we look at, but these diseases are all symptoms of just being deficient in something. And I'm going to liken it to this because we can all probably identify some way, shape, or form. You only have $100, but everything from a bill to something you want to buy to something you want to eat will eat up that $100 real fast. You pay your light bill, you go to the grocery store, you put gas in your car. So that handles maybe those three things. But then you got to pay the water bill. You have to pay your mortgage. You have to pay all of these things above and beyond that $100. That's what it's like being deficient. That's what we call deficient in vitamin M. When you're deficient in vitamin M, that's when you're deficient in money. And that deficiency means that you do not have enough. You have some, but you do not have enough to sustain your lifestyle. That's the same thing as being deficient in nutrition. You have some, you get some, if you're eating a healthy diet, if you're drinking water, if you're fasting from time to time, you get some nutrition, but you do not get enough to maintain a healthy body, which is the reason why this country is the way that it is when it comes to health and nutrition. And I say health and nutrition because I'm talking about it from the aspect of us not getting enough. And I'm saying that they don't supply us with enough. They don't put out enough, meaning that they don't tell us the things that you need to do daily to get the right amount of nutrients in the body. And so, therefore, when you break it down, you have to understand that in order for this cake to be full, you have to have all the ingredients. And when you put these ingredients together, they form the bond that the body can accept. And so today, the next three topics, and you're right, calcium citrate is what is in, there's different types of calcium. There's chelated calcium, there's collated calcium, there's calcium citrate. So yes, there are different types of formations of calcium, and calcium citrate is the right form of calcium to put and get into your body, along with the strontium, along with the magnesium, along with the glucosamine. If you do that as a protocol, then the body's going to respond in kind. And I know this for a fact because of myself. You know, I had a partially torn MCL and I sprained my ACL. And 4 months without any drugs or surgery, back in 2009, 2010, 2011, I was able to heal my knee. And I don't have knee issues today. But, you know, people say, you're a young guy, you heal easy, you know, you stay pretty decent in shape, whatever. But my dad was 77, my dad, who's 77 years old, fractured his heel about a year and a half ago, jumping off a table, and fractured his heel. And when he fractured his heel, the doctor told him he could either have surgery, which was going to be about a 12-week recovery period, putting pins in and plates. But the doctor also told my dad at Kaiser that he couldn't guarantee that he wasn't going to get arthritis. And my dad doesn't have arthritis, and he didn't have it then, and he doesn't have it now. And he said, well, I'm not going to do anything that's going to potentially give me arthritis. And to be 77 years old and not have arthritis is a big deal as well. But he called me and he asked me, what was that stuff you took for your knees? And I told him, and he got on it. And in that same 12 weeks of time at 77 years old, he was able to heal his fracture. Now, yes, will it take a little bit longer at that age? Of course, because things don't work and grow the same. But if you give the body what it needs, it will heal itself. And so in a 12-week period of time, which would have been the same turnaround time as what it would have been if he would have had the surgery, minus the pins, minus the plates, minus all the other things, you do it naturally. And now he runs around, he stands on his head, he still rides his bike every single day. He does all the things that he was able to do. Because why? He gave his body what it needs. And so tonight, There's about two to three topics that I want to touch on in this calcium deficiency series. Last week we went over bone issue or back pain. We went over back pain, arthritis. We went over those were a couple of the topics that we went over last week. This week we're going to be talking about bone spurs and bone fractures and Bell's palsy. And Bell's palsy is a rough one, and you've probably seen or may have heard of it, but not really understand what happens or why it happens to people. So that's the one I'm going to touch on as well. But bone spurs are like bony projections. If you could picture like a smooth type of tube, and then you wrap barbed wire around it, the outside of it, and you have those little spikes sticking out. That's what bone spurs tend to feel like, but it's fragments of bone. Your bones shed. You lay down new bone, and then old bone sheds, or you shed old bone and new bone comes in. It's a cycle. And as old bone sheds, then new bone comes in and it takes over, and this is how your bones get strengthened. And then when the older you get, if you're not on a good calcium regimen, and especially in older women, they talk about osteoporosis, which simply means that your body is not shedding the old bone, and it's trying to grow new bone over it. And that's why they do things like bone density tests to make sure your bones aren't just hollow, to determine whether or not you do have some form of arthritis or you do have some form of osteoporosis or osteoarthritis. Osteo is bone. Arthritis is inflammation of the bone. And when we understand bones, we also have to understand how important blood flow is. Because we have, believe it or not, we have blood vessels running through our bones. And those blood vessels have to have a good flow of blood. And so when you don't have a good flow of blood, those blood vessels tend to atrophy, and then they don't function correctly. And when they don't function correctly or they're not getting the proper flow, then you start to get a fracture. And then when you get a bone fracture, sometimes you break those blood, those veins that are running through the bone. And when you break those veins, that's what you see when you see the swelling, the redness, when you break a bone. And also, of course, that bone being dependent on the break, but rubbing on the inside of your skin and making that inflamed. But bone breaks, even minor ones, can be really serious. And the reason why they hurt so much and they swell is because when you have an injury, when you understand cholesterol and you understand how blood works, when you have an injury, your body floods more blood to that area. One, because it's trying to heal itself. You have what's called capillaries in your blood, and they help try to stop bleeding. You also have cholesterol in your blood. And that cholesterol makes cells. Cholesterol only makes cells, and cholesterol makes hormones. That's the only two things cholesterol does. So when there's an injury or there's some issue going on, the cholesterol is flying 100 miles an hour to that place to try to make new cells to repair that area. And when it can't, It will continue, and then that's what the swelling, that's what happens with the swelling, that's what happens with the inflammation. It's that area being targeted, and it gets really, really hot, it gets really, really warm, because now your body's trying to heat itself up to say, okay, we got to stop this. And so the body all the time is working to heal itself. But with bone spurs, these hurt because the spurs don't actually break off. Some do, but some of them just hang out, and they're always there. They're always in place. And if they do break off, then they start to float around in the body or in a particular area, which causes more and more discomfort. And you can also have those same types of things form in your spine. And when they form in your spine, that's really, really bad news. The other thing, you know, people wonder about, how do you get them? And really, like we're talking about, this series is on calcium deficiency. This series is on how the body does not get enough calcium to be able to lay down and make up new bone and old bone, but it also comes from putting stress on the body, jumping up and down, running on pavement. You know, your bones take such a beating. And over time, if we're not giving ourselves the calcium and the magnesium and everything that the joints need, then the disc, either between your vertebrae or the cartilage between your joints, starts to wear off, and it's just taking a pounding all the time, all the time. It's just taking that pounding. And when nothing's there, then you get close to bone on bone, or you get close to friction and things rubbing together. And when you have that friction, that can cause those spurs to shoot out and then start to damage the body. And really, you know, there's a couple of ways to get rid of bone spurs. But most of the time when we get them, it's like, what do we do about the pain? Because it's excruciating. And the first thing people do is they want to ice it. They may take painkillers. They may do a couple of different things to try to just help those spurs. And depending on where you have them, a friend of mine was telling me about having them in her toe and having to have surgery to get it off. And that's violent. I mean, that's like in one of your toes. So every time you walk, every time your foot bends, it's there. And then to have surgery, to have your toe cut open and have your bone scraped. And then just imagine the recovery time for that. But a calcium, magnesium, glucosamine, chondroitin, a regimen of those type of nutrients is what your body's asking for. It's not the bone spur in and of itself. It's not a bone fracture in and of itself. It's why those things happen. And now when you talk about bone fractures, of course, you might get in an accident. You might fall. You might have things where you fracture bones. But when you have those non-contact fractures that happen, you may have heard of people who their bones are so brittle and delicate that they can just walk and break bones. They can open doors or shake somebody's hand and you can break their bones. They are extremely, extremely deficient in nutrients and extremely deficient in calcium. And until that changes, they will continue on with that type of illness. They will continue on with that type of disease. Now, the other thing about that is, say, you know, somebody says, well, I've been taking all of those things you said. I've been taking that regimen. And I still have some pain, but, you know, it's not where it should be. It's not where I want it to be. And when you talk about that, you talk about absorption. Are you absorbing it? And what type is it? Are you taking it as a chewable? Are you taking it as a liquid? How are you taking it? Are you taking it as a big pill that probably is not breaking down in your digestive system? One, either because the quality of the pill isn't that great, or two, the stomach acid that you have is not properly breaking it down. So you have to look at, you can't just say, hey, I'm taking calcium, because all calcium isn't created equal. Just like for anything. It's not you go to one place and get calcium or a calcium regimen, you go to another place and get a calcium regimen, it may not be the same. And so you have to make sure you're comparing apples to apples and oranges to oranges. Bone spurs develop in areas of inflammation. And so this is why we always talk about keeping inflammatory things out of the body. What causes inflammation? Most of what causes our inflammation is free radicals and trans fats. Trans fats are like probably one of the worst things you can put into your body when we're talking about eating. Because trans fats will break down the body from the inside out. And that's why now when you buy jars of oil or bottles of oil, it'll say zero trans fat. It still has trans fats in it, but it's below the FDA-regulated number to be able to say that there's zero trans fat. But then they'll put that on a bottle, but they won't put the labeling on Oreo cookies, because the filling of Oreo cookies is nothing but trans fat. So you eat the crazy part about Oreo cookies are, they're vegan. You eat the outside part of the Oreo cookie, But then when you eat the inside part, which is the filling, you're getting full of trans fat. So, you know, they're some of the worst things that you can eat. But, of course, they're some of the best tasting things if you, you know, tend to be a cookie person, especially an Oreo cookie person. Do bone spurs just go away? That's the question that was asked. And they don't just go away on their own. There is no reason to, unless the pain is so great that you can't take it, there is no reason to rush into going to have surgery and you know, this and that. But try some of the, like I said, getting on a calcium regimen, getting on a homeopathic regimen to help you, making sure that you're cutting out the bad foods from your diet and letting your body rest during that period of time. Because bone spurs will be one of those things that will just haunt you. And it seems like as soon as they feel like they're getting better, then all of a sudden you have a flare up. And once you keep the inflammation down in your body as well, then those bone spurs don't tend to bother you as much because you don't have as much inflamed tissue around that bone that's going to cause it to be jagged and rub on the inside of the body. What other question do we have? Uh-oh. I think I lost you. Hold on for a second. Goodness gracious. Can you dissolve bone spurs? That was another question that was asked. That's what I was looking at. Can you dissolve or can you get rid of them? And yes, you can, but you have to do it naturally. You have to take the natural route to do that, unless, like I said, you use drugs or surgery. But the problem with using drugs or surgery is you're not fixing the root cause of the problem. You're just starting to, you know, kind of take the symptom away, but you're not really fixing anything. And so those bone spurs are going to, like, be one of those things that's going to really just eat away at you and just haunt you until you get them squared away. The next part about – the next topic we're on is talking about Bell's palsy. And Bell's palsy is where if you've ever seen someone's face sag on one side or their face drop on one side, that is a symptom and also, you know, a symptom of calcium deficiency. But it's looked at, you know, as a facial paralysis resulting from damage or trauma to the facial nerves. And they always, you know, they tend to say that people with herpes or different things like that can get Bell's palsy. But also a friend of mine who had Lyme disease also was dealing with some issues with Bell's palsy. And the facial nerve, which is called the seventh cranial nerve, travels through like a narrow bony canal called a fallopian canal, not to be confused with the other fallopian. This one is in the skull beneath the ear and, you know, to the muscles on each side of the face. And that's what, you know, what's affected when you talk about having Bell's palsy. Viruses can give it to you, if, depending on the inflammatory nature of the virus, cold sores. I said herpes is another, genital herpes is another way that you can get Bell's palsy. Is Bell's palsy, what's the best treatment for Bell's palsy? And, you know, most of the time in hospitals and doctors' offices, they'll use medication like prednisone or anti-inflammatories and different things like that, but and steroids and to get the face and the body built back in can work, you know, for temporary relief, but really and truly we have to look at one of the reasons why you have it. And the facial structure, and, you know, our bodies are 70% liquid and 30% or 20% solid, but 80% of that 20% of our solid in our body needs calcium. So when you talk about the facial bones, I mean, just imagine how they say it takes more nerves to frown than it does to smile. And look at all the facial, you know, you just, you, somebody makes a face when you say something or they see something and you just read people's facial expressions. You don't know how much control we have over our face and our facial features, although a lot of it we don't see because we don't have a mirror in front of us all the time. And so we make certain gestures, we blink certain ways, we squint our face certain ways. I mean, your face can do amazing things with the nerves and the muscles in it. And I say all that to say because all of that needs calcium. It needs the magnesium. It needs that protocol of calcium. And I make sure that I reiterate the protocol. One of the things that we have that works really, really well because it's very highly absorbable, because remember I said calcium is very hard to absorb. This is very highly absorbable, and it's called Beyond Osteo FX. And Beyond is more than, osteo is bone, and FX is function. So Beyond Bone Function. And Beyond that bone function is what this particular product does. It is full of 1,200 milligrams of calcium, which is your daily recommended amount. But you don't take that all at one time. You break it up in half the day. You take one half in the morning, you take the other half in the afternoon, based on whatever your body weight is. And so based on your body weight will tell you how many ounces of it you have to have. But one of the things with this protocol of calcium is that you get the calcium, the magnesium, the glucosamine, the strontium, all of those particular things in that one bottle. And so you don't have to guess to make sure you have the one you need or you have the one you don't need. Because what happens is the body will recognize it. When you take it, the body will recognize it as a protocol. It won't recognize it as an intruder or something that it doesn't know what to do, like a lot of the other foods we have, and just cast it aside. It actually looks at it as food. It looks at it as what we need to have and build good bone matrix. And then also along with that, you take a glucogel, which is a little extra type of glucosamine with some gelatin in it, and that helps the body and the little nerves and the little muscles, tendons and the ligaments and all the things that control facial movement, it helps those things regain their natural state of being. And I say natural state of being because the body is one of those things that wants to heal itself, and it wants to be in its natural state all the time. And that's what that protocol is going to do. And so slowly the face will start to lift and even out, and then it'll come back into formation. And some people you can still that have had it, depending on whether they just kind of let the body try to heal itself and go through the motions, they'll get a little bit of relief. Or you'll see a little change, but you'll still see that they have it a little bit, or they've had it. And then at some point in time, they'll look back at getting back to 100%. But Bell's palsy is very painful. It's also it wreaks havoc on your self-esteem, because if you can just imagine feeling like one side of your face is dying, literally. And the other side of your face is fine, but you don't really feel it or you don't really see it. You just know that there's a problem. And then you look in the mirror and it's like, wow. And another big thing when we talk about skin and we talk about nerves, when we talk about Bell's palsy, is your omegas. The proper ratio of your omega-3s, 6s, and 9s can really help, because when we talk about ratios and we talk about the skin and we talk about the muscles, if you have that calcium and then that EFA, that essential fatty acid, that's going to feed the skin, that's going to feed the nerves, that's going to feed everything within the body, especially in the face, and that cranial nerve. That calcium is going to keep that cranial nerve strong, and those EFAs are going to keep those tendons and things that run through there strong and healthy. And that's what you do to prevent the problem from coming back or becoming a major issue. If a person has Bell's palsy and it's kind of like one episode of it, you know, probably within a few weeks you can be, you know, back together. But if you're still dealing with that same disease that put you in that place, or that same illness, whether it be, like I said, Lyme disease or herpes, then, and you're not doing anything different, then it's going to come and go. But every time it happens, you'll have some degree of permanent facial weakness, which means that area will die. And this is why we talk about, because those little nerves and those little blood vessels that run through the face will atrophy. And when it does that, then you're running the risk of it not being able to get itself back to where it was once before. And that's why we have to continuously feed the body. We have to continuously do the things that we need to do to make sure that either it heals itself, or we make it such that it will pick back up and tighten up the face and tighten up those facial muscles. And so I've seen, you know, some good results with people who have Bell's palsy, but I've also seen some not so good results. And they never really seem to get it back, get that facial recognition or that facial feature back the way that it was. I've seen it in athletes. I remember a basketball friend of mine, who I know through another friend, had got his orbital bone around his eye hit. He got elbowed extremely hard, and it fractured his orbital bone. And if you saw a picture of him before that injury and you look at a picture of him now, you definitely can tell that there's a big difference in his face. And though he looks the same, you can tell the difference. If you've never met him and you see him, that's one thing. But to have known and what he, to know and have seen what he looked like before and then what he looks like now, you can definitely tell that there is a major difference. So, you know, Bell's palsy is one of those things that is a result of something else. It never really starts on its own. It's always attached to some sort of other life experience within the body that causes itself to give up in certain areas. And in most cases, you know, it can be temporary, but it can also be serious. And if your body's already under attack, or if your body's already in an unhealthy state, then it's going to either progressively get worse, or, you know, you may end up going all the way to the point where I've seen just a few cases of people having to have plastic surgery to pull things back in place, whether it be a bone spur or Bell's palsy. That body needs the same calcium. That body needs the same magnesium. And because a lot of times we don't know which one we're going to get until we get it, then it makes sense to use what we call the prevention method, because that is the best medicine, and just take that regimen every day and allow the body to do what it needs to do, and it will take care of you. The other part about what we wanted to go over when we talk about the body are bone fractures. And there are several different types of bone fractures. And you'd be surprised, which I was kind of shocked, that a lot of us walk around with striations and stress fractures all the time, because that's just the basic breakdown of bone shedding and new bone growing. But if your body doesn't have what it needs for that new bone to grow and take effect like it should, it will splinter. It will fracture. And, you know, it fractures in many little pieces. And it's called like a commuting fracture, where you don't have anything being displaced. It's kind of together, but it's just splintered out. And that can be as painful as having any other fracture. So a lot of times we limp, you know, you might limp, or you get up because you sit on your leg a long time, or your knee starts to hurt in different places, or whatever the case may be. And a lot of times we just think, oh, that's pain, that's just getting old, or my bones creaking or cracking. And a lot of times they could be little stress fractures that we have and that we're dealing with. A significant percentage of bone fractures occur because of high force impact or stress. You know, and a fracture may also be the result of some medical conditions which weaken bones. For example, osteoporosis or osteogenesis. You know, that and osteogenesis imperfecta is like a bone disease. But the other thing are taking prescription drugs. Some of your over-counter drugs or some of your prescription drugs, especially for like acid reflux, your Pronic, your Protonix, your Nexium, those particular things can also weaken bones because of the chemical compounds in them. And what it's doing to your stomach acid is stopping your body from producing the proper acid that it needs and the proper health that it needs to feed the bones. Because remember, we have blood vessels running through our bones. So the same blood that pumps through our heart is the same blood that's running through our bones. So if that blood isn't healthy, then your bone marrow can be affected, and you can start to have problems from the inside out. Now, people wonder, always often wonder, is there a difference between a break or a fracture? Are they the same thing? And a broken bone is a fracture. And most of the time, your symptoms, like I said before, are going to include that swelling and pain and discoloration, again, in the injured area. And that's because of, like I said, those blood vessels being inflamed, the skin around it being inflamed. And depending on the break, just the stress of a break. Some fractures require surgery. Some don't. Some will heal on, you know, in a cast, but then others you have to be a little bit more invasive. You know, a bone fracture repair can be something that is a surgery to fix a broken bone using like screws, pins, and rods and plates to hold the bone in place. And that can be painful because now you're introducing foreign bodies or foreign objects into your body, which can then cause the body to reject those, some of the screws or the pins or the plates, and they're drilling them down into your bone. But remember, your bone has blood vessels running through it. Your bone has a life inside of it. It has marrow inside of it. And they do it hoping that the bones will grow around or take in whatever that screw or that plate is. And you do it for a period of time, and then you have to go get them out, which now you start in pain all over again. Not to mention if you had any infection or anything along those lines. And when you break a bone, most of the time it's debilitating. Especially if it's somewhere in your leg, because you have big bones in your leg and you can't walk. You don't have a quality of life. If it's in your hands, you can't use your hands properly. So no matter where a fracture happens, it's, anytime it happens, it's going to be a misunderstanding. You're going to be hurt. I had a question of about what are some of the common types of fractures. And you have a compression fracture, which is where something is crushed, like your vertebrae, you know, your trauma, you have trauma from a fall. You have a sports fracture, which like twisting your leg, twisting your ankle. Separated fracture, or they call it a epiphyseal, and that's where your bones separate from each other and the cartilage in between that joint, those cartilage cells start to die. You have a depressed fracture, which means the bone is pressed inward, like a skull fracture, like if somebody gets hit in the head or if they go through a car window and you see their face pushed in or their skull pushed in, that's a depressed fracture. And then you have a green, what they call green stick fracture, which is an incomplete break on one side. One side of it breaks, but the other side bends. And I've seen that happen with a kid playing basketball before, and he put his hands down to break his fall. And the inside of his forearm broke, but the other side just kind of bent around. And it was, oh, man, it was like, that almost looked like Gumby, like one of the nastiest things you've ever seen. And, you know, you immediately go into shock. But some fractures and some breaks. And then I saw another guy I was playing football with. His whole ankle got turned around. Somebody went to go tackle him by his ankle. He tried to twist out, and his ankle stayed in place. And he just basically twisted his foot all the way around. Those are really, really bad breaks. Those are really hard breaks, because everything is kind of sheared and broken and into pieces. And so during the healing process, not only do you may have a cast or pins or rods, but that calcium becomes super important to the body, because that area is now weakened. That area is now not as strong as it should be. And the other thing is, because you know you had a break there, you tend to become a little bit more timid in using those joints, in using that area. So then you compensate. And you compensate with the other side, trying to take the pressure off the side that you injured. And a lot of times it's not even because you're still injured, but it's a mind thing. And so those fractures can be hard to deal with, and, of course, painful. There's only one way to continue to get that where you can get it back to 100%. Because you'll talk to people who broken bones or injured joints, and they'll say, man, this ankle has never been right since then, or this knee has never been right since I had that surgery or since I injured this joint. And that's the truth, because the body's only going to heal itself with what it has. So we have to do our job and give it the rest of what it needs. And when we do that, we feel so much better, we function so much better, and our quality of life is so much better. And we don't really understand, we have 206 bones in our body, and they all need calcium, every single one of them. You know, we talk about bone fractures and we talk about breaks, but one of the other things that we don't talk about is bone degeneration. And that means your bones are starting to basically rot away or deteriorate. And when we look at, like, cavities, for instance, the jawbone and the facial bones, which hold your teeth in, those bones become the mandible. They become calcium deficient. And when they're calcium deficient, the body will pull calcium from the teeth to feed the jawbone. If you're already having issues with calcium deficiency, then your parathyroid will be overactive, which means that's a hypoactive parathyroid or hypoparathyroidism, and your body's pulling calcium from everywhere. And then we talk about our teeth being brittle and weak, and flossing your teeth and brushing your teeth and all of those important things for hygiene. But when you look at an animal, like a well-taken care of horse or mule or goat or anything, they have all their teeth. They don't brush their teeth. They don't floss their teeth. They have every single one of their teeth. Why? Because they get perfect nutrition. So when you get perfect nutrition, you're able to your body's able to heal itself and maintain itself. So when your dentist tells you you need to brush and floss to prevent cavities, cavities aren't a lot of times from what you eat. It's just because your bone, your teeth aren't strong enough anymore because they've lost so much nutrients that they become brittle. And then they become more porous. If you've ever seen teeth, they're very porous. And then the foods or the different things we eat settle down in those pores, the candy, the bad stuff. It settles down into those pores, which can cause the decay of a tooth, which it would be a cavity. But we don't really understand how do you penetrate that? How is that penetrable? One is because we don't have enough calcium, or we're not taking a protocol of calcium in our diet, even children. And one of the things that they used to say, we're going to give you fluoride to strengthen your teeth, and that is the worst thing. And they give you that, put that fluoride on that mouthpiece and have you hold it in your mouth. And fluoride is so bad for your system that it's a wonder they were even able to get away with that. Instead of saying, make sure that your child has a little bit of this calcium or this OsteoFX, this protocol to his milk, his almond milk, or the milk he drinks, just add that in there. One, that's going to make the milk taste a little bit better, but two, now we're getting the calcium that he needs. So you don't have to worry about them getting caps and crowns and, you know, as an adult, root canals and all of these things because our teeth are have failed us. But our jaw has failed us. Our face has failed us. The fact that we don't have any calcium in our body, we're failing ourselves. I look at these dental implant type things, and they screw these little prongs or studs down into your teeth, down into the bones of your teeth. Then they wait a while for some bone to grow around it. Then they screw teeth on top of it. I mean, these things don't have to happen. But we don't get the necessary education to understand why they don't have to happen. So it's up to us to make sure we spread the word. It's up to us to make sure that we connect with our friends and family who are dealing with bone fractures or bone issues or joint issues. And we say to them, there is a way out. Some people are content with their doctor and content on their prescriptions, but there's a whole lot of people that are sick and tired of being sick and tired of not being able to walk. You go to the airport and you got to be pushed around the whole airport. You go to a park, you got to be pushed around the park. You go to a concert, you got to be pushed around there. You go to the grocery store and it's all you can do to get from your car to one of those motorized scooters. Our quality of life in here in America is not up to par at all. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that we don't have healthy bones and joints, because as soon as we get a breakdown, then the body wants to start to, we want to say, well, man, our body's failing. And so the doctor will say, well, we'll take this out and we'll put something new in its place. But we never did anything to stop the problem. Bones and joints just don't deteriorate if you're keeping your body healthy. My dad at 77 was able to grow, regenerate, and heal a heel fracture, which is a very rough fracture. I was able to do it in my knees. There's countless other people who were supposed to have hip replacements or knee replacements, but they got on a calcium protocol. They got on the 90 for life protocol with the calcium and the magnesium and the glucosamine and the strontium and all of those particular things that feed the body, that build good bone matrix, that feed the tendon. So there's not a lot that we have to do when it comes to preventing this from happening. But once it happens, if we don't do anything different, then it's just a long downhill spiral of health problems that build on one another. You have a problem getting out of bed, and you have a problem, you're limping. Then you have a problem with a joint. Now that joint is worn out, so they send you to physical therapy, which is sometimes the worst thing they can do, to work a joint that's already bothering you in the name of strengthening it. Then they say, oh, well, that didn't work, man. It's time for us to take it out and put a new one in. And people would be a lot more humble if we didn't have insurance and you had to pay for that out of pocket, because a calcium regimen and some nutrients would look really, really good compared to having your body peeled and pulled apart to replace something that you could have prevented or fixed in the first place. Let me see if I have any more questions here. Good question. How long does it take a bone to heal? It depends on the person, one, and their level of health, but broken bones heal at different rates. And, you know, depending on the age of the child and the type of fracture, certain fractures in young children can heal, you know, as quickly as 3 weeks, while that same fracture, you know, in a teenager or an adult could take like 6 weeks. Because why? The body's ability to heal itself slows down the older we get, which is the reason why we have to make sure we're putting in our bodies what it's missing every day. And then some fractures can take as long as 10 weeks to heal. And when I say heal, I'm talking about to the point where the fracture is almost null and void. The pain may not be gone yet. The discomfort might not be gone yet. But the fracture is somewhat healed to the point where you're able to move on and at least start to move around. When you have, and I'll tell you this because I keep talking about taking the right nutrients and getting all the nutrients that you need when you have bone fractures. But, you know, people say, well, what food? Because we always attribute food to our diet when we talk about healing, although we get very little nutrition from our food. But high calcium foods are the best foods for you. And the major, of course, like I said, mineral in the bone is calcium. So you want to try to include foods high in this. And that's your sea vegetables, your green leafy vegetables. Salmon is good. Sardines are good with the bones in them. If you can handle, some people can't handle dairy, but you can have even unsweetened cultured dairy like yogurt. So, you know, and that's just a few ways and a few foods to eat to help. But also notice when we talk about our fish, sardines and salmon and those particular things, you're also getting a great deal of your omegas from there, which again help. And so one of the things that I hope you take away from this is no matter what the issue is, and you'll see this as we continue to go through this calcium deficiency series, I'm going through all the symptoms of calcium deficiency. But as we tie back into how to or what to give the body to help it fix itself, that all will start to look the same. And that's why we, as a company, have such high success rate because of what Dr. Wallach discovered, that if you are a camel or a horse or a human and you have a calcium deficiency, we all going to get the same 147 diseases. The great thing about what they did in the animal industry was they figured out how to cure them. And for years and years and years, nobody thought that there was a correlation of what you could do for animals and make it work for humans. Now, back in the turn of the century, it was, and that's what a lot of remedies came from and different things. But as we got more modernized, then it became, oh, well, you need a knee replacement, you need a hip replacement, but yet you got a horse out in the pasture who's just getting a little bit of arthritis, and you increase his tablets or his mineral pellets, and it goes away. But yet yours has gotten to the point where you need a joint replacement. So it all matters. It all works together. And when you talk about healing, as long as there's bones there to be healed and muscles there and tendons there and ligaments there and connective tissue there, It's all going to need the same stuff. It all uses the same stuff. So understand that a person who is dealing with back pain, bone fractures, it's all going to be the same thing. It's all going to be the same treatment or a protocol. It's not even a treatment. It's just a protocol to give your body back what it's missing. And so I hope we got a little bit of education. I hope that was valuable. And if anybody has any questions, any further questions, I have some pre-jotted down questions from the week. But if you have any questions, you can press 1 and I can respond to your question, or you can send me an inbox message on Facebook under Donald Snowden, and I can help you out if you're dealing with any kind of joint issues. And you were invited to this call from someone, you know, get back with them. Say, hey, what is it that I need to do? If they don't know, they can always call me, or you can always call me. My phone number is 919-599-0916. And I look forward to helping you. I look forward to being here for you and walking you through this. Once again, I'd like to thank everyone who joined us this week, whether you were on Facebook Live, which my computer cut out on me. But guess what? That happens. You know, when you're trying to spread a message and you're trying to do something positive, things happen. But we don't let that discourage us. We keep it moving. If those are on the radio side, if you know of anybody who should have heard this, or you want to get this information to them, you can text me and I'll send you the recording. Or you can call me, or you can have them call me. So I'm here. Use me as a resource. This is my passion. This is what I love to do. And we'll be back next week. The topics next week on our series. Let's see what the topics for next week are. We got 3 topics. And we'll be talking about calcium deposits and cartilage damage and cognitive impairment. These are things that are associated with calcium deficiency. Calcium deposits, cartilage damage, and cognitive impairment. And that's going to be our topic for next week, and we'll go over those. And if you know anybody who's dealing with any of those symptoms, make sure they get on, or make sure at some point you share the video or the recording with them. I appreciate everybody getting on the phone again tonight and chiming in or checking in. And like I said, I hope it's valuable. I enjoy this. I love it. I think I have a question from a 404 number.
Yes.
Hello, how are you?
Thank God. Thank God I'm doing well as much as possible.
Wonderful.
My question, I had an accident hit very hard to my forehead over above my right eye. As I look out above my right eye, I didn't know it was really bad until I saw a picture of I took. So it swole, and I knew it would go back down, and so I thought it would be okay, everything would be fine. But as I've noticed, when the healing took place, something must have drifted down to the right eye. There was a red blood spot next to my black pupil, and I thought that would go away as well. And there's a slight of picture of it there, still there, but then my right eye becomes it's blurred now. It's fractured as I look out, and if I close my left eye, I'm sure I cannot go anywhere that I'm not familiar with. I couldn't see it totally clearly. I went to the doctor to see, well, maybe if I got glasses, it would enhance the left eye, and it would help me to see better. But he wanted to say, well, it's glaucoma. I think that's what he was trying to say. But I knew it wasn't. Mm-hmm. Both eyes were perfectly functioning until that hit and that fracture and that swelling went down. and now the right eye is blurred. And I just want to know what can I take to help strengthen the sight of this right eye? I know that's the only problem that happened is area
mm-hmm.
above it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what happens is when we have a trauma,
the fracture.
Or we have a
mm-hmm.
right, we have a trauma or a fracture or a blow like that, it will stress. And that's what I was talking about when you have that stress fracture. And you could have
right.
popped one of the blood vessels. You could have popped, the bone
yes.
could have stressed, fractured, and caused that problem to drift down into the eye. One of the things that you can do, of course, is now we have to, and this is why it's important to, when you have issues, and most of the time we don't know because we go to the doctor and they'll just say, oh, ICID is fine, or they give you some painkiller, but we're never really treating the root cause of the problem. And so now we have to look at how to give the body what it's missing to get that area to build back up. And so one of the things for sure, are you part of Youngevity or someone you know part of Youngevity?
I am recently part of it, thank the Lord.
Okay. Wonderful, wonderful. Okay. I just wanted to make sure, so if I'm telling
yes.
you things, you know what I'm talking about. But so what you can do is the heart, it's called the Heart and Brain Pack. And now, have you had any other issues, health issues, just in general?
I've never had to go to the hospital all my life except to have children.
Okay.
So I haven't had, I'm so thankful, I haven't had health
uh-huh.
issues.
Okay.
Except
Good.
Depression.
Good.
I can say that.
Mm-hmm.
Depression.
Depression, okay. And
yes.
how, is that manageable now? And this is all related, kind of, so that's why I'm asking, just to make sure that I'm giving you what you need or explaining to you how to help this issue. Is it? Are you managing it better now since you?
I don't think I'm managing it any. I don't think I'm managing it any better. I
uh-huh.
I don't stay down as long if I'm involved with activities or in public. I use that
uh-huh.
as a resource or something to wipe it away for hours at a time when I'm
mm-hmm.
engaged and my mind is taken off of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's when I come
mm-hmm.
alone, when I set aside and I'm alone and I'm isolated, then I allow it to come back down on me.
Right. Okay. And so, and the reason why I say that is because when we talk about healing, you know, you hurt your eye. So when you hurt your eye, you tend to be more by yourself because, one, you're in pain. Two, you don't know, you got this blood spot. And so then that starts to, then the depression stuff starts to bother you. And then you stress and then you don't heal as you should. And so one of the things that from the aspect of your eye, and it may be more than just the eye, and that's why I'm saying it could be the bones around the face, the forehead.
Yes.
So the bone,
yes.
So the heart, I meant to say the bone and joint pack would be a good start for you, as well as you can look at occlusive. And occlusive is formulated specifically to help with the function of the eye and maintenance repair of the eye and to keep the eyes healthy. And that Occlutive is a really, really good brand of nutrient, because it's all the nutrients that make up what the eye needs. It's a composition of nutrients that make up what the eye needs. Now, also, you have to make sure that you are decreasing your bad foods, and I'm talking about like oils and different things like that, because when you take oil or other things that cause free radical damage, it takes longer for those cells to be able to heal themselves when you're giving it the nutrients. So you have to be able to make sure you're cutting out the bad foods. Also, when you look at depression, and this is one of the things that I want you to pay attention to as far as your diet goes, is to make sure that sugar, and you, if you either have a cravings for sugar, or if you have sugary things that you're used to eating, I want you to make sure, jot down what you eat, and correlate that with the times that you feel down on your mood as far as depression goes. Because when we talk about depression, that's a blood sugar imbalance. That's a chemical imbalance. And that a lot of times with the monitoring of your sugar intake, you may be able to tell some differences of your attitude or your self-esteem or your low feelings correlated based on what you may have eaten or didn't.
All right.
But now, do you still have pain in your eye? Do you still have pain in that area?
I only feel weakness in the eye in contrast to the left side. And mm-hmm. I feel pressure or some type of negative impact on this eye if I mm-hmm. lay down on that side, on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
So
I
place pillows to my right side to remind me if I begin to turn over to
go back.
Stop, because to go
yeah.
back. Because mm-hmm. if I wake up and I've slept on that right side, it's very weak. It's weaker than it would normally be had I not done that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I feel an extension of this right eye as opposed to the satisfactory feeling of the left eye. There's a different feeling.
Now, when you get this bone and joint pack, and you have one pack, one bone and joint pack is good for 100 to about 160 pounds of body weight. So that entire pack would be a month's supply if you are within that weight range. If you are outside of that or above
yes.
that weight range, then you might need two packs because two packs will give you a 30-day supply. You want that product to be done in 30 days if you're taking it based on your body weight. And that's extremely important because you need to get the right amount of nutrients for your body weight. You need to be ingesting that. But also what's
yes.
part of that bone and joint, what's part of that bone and joint pack is what we call CM cream. And that cream is an amazing cream. And it really helps with one, if you're hurting in a particular place, you can rub some of that cream on there and it'll give you some relief. But two, that cream has what we call Selodrin in it. And that goes in and absorbs into the skin, through the skin, and will go down into the bones, and it'll help soothe that area. And so when you get your pack, you'll get some of that CM cream. And what I would want you to do is use that every day, a couple of times a day, 2 to 3 times a day, especially when you get up in the morning. You know, if you can get some on throughout the middle part of the day, even if you don't have any pain there, or even if you don't have any pressure, just you'll have two jars of it if you need two packs. If you need one pack, you'll get one jar of it, but you want to use, it doesn't take a lot either, you know, a little bit on your finger and just rub it around that area, that entire area, and do that for about a week or so. And continue to do it throughout the time that you have the jar, but what I want you to do is do it for about a week or so, and then go and try to, when you go to apply it that one night after about a week or two, take some and rub it on your eye or around the area, and then lay down on your right side. After you've used it religiously for about a couple of weeks, about a week or two,
yes.
lay down on your right
yes.
side and see if that pressure and that pain has decreased. Because if it has, then what that's telling you is it was a bone stress area, and that CM cream has gone in along with the product, has gone in and is starting to help heal that fracture, which is then taking some of the pressure off, which also could have jarred your eye loose a little bit in the socket. And so that socket can tighten up because the ball or the hole that the eyeball goes into may be inflamed, which is causing the pain when that pressure, when you lay on that one side. And so do that with the CM cream and see if that's been decreased. And if that pressure or that pain, that feeling of pain has been decreased, then you know you're on the right track, and you know that it's something that is probably not going to take a really long time to repair, because between the CM cream working on the outside going in and the product going in and working on the inside, you know, it's definitely something that you can wrap your, you know, hang your hat on and know that you might be all right. But I feel like for what you have, it's manageable, and the nutrients would definitely help.
Well, thank you. I certainly appreciate that information and help.
Yes, ma'am. You have a good night, and make sure you're on the call and keep in touch with me.
Yes, thank you so much.
Not a problem. Have a good night. Hello, how can we help you?
Hello?
Yeah, hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hi. I took a pee this morning and a cockroach came out of my dick hole.
Oh, really? Takes all kinds to make the world go round. But I think that was all of our questions for the evening. If you guys have any other questions, feel free to press 1. Okay. Well, guys, I appreciate you chiming in. I appreciate the questions. And let me see. We have one more. Hold on. Good evening. How are you?
Good evening. I am well.
Good. Good to hear from you.
Thank you. I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I have Achilles tendonitis.
Tendonitis.
Yes, and they want to do surgery and extend my tendon and all that stuff that goes along with it, and I won't do it.
You
but
shouldn't.
I know, but, you know, the pressure is there in the medical field that you've got to get this done. And I must say I have a bone spur, a nice quarter-sized bone spur on the back of my foot, and it's affecting my shoe size, really, because I can't put, like, any strap or anything, or, you know, any girly-girl shoes on it because it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
But I have no intentions on having the surgery, so what can I do?
Well, you got to get that same bone and joint pack, and that CM cream that comes in that pack is going to do some amazing things for your foot and your tendons, because one, they're just starving for what they need, and so I have plantar fasciitis, and so if anybody understands how your foot can feel when it's not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be. And that CM cream did some amazing things. But that the bone and joint pack is the most amazing thing that you will take, because that's specifically formulated to help feed the cartilage, the tendons, the ligaments, the connective tissue, disc between the vertebrae.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just going to deal with one of them. We're going to deal with all of them at the same time.
Mm,
and that
okay.
way we feed the entire body. That's the one thing about taking nutrition. Your body recognizes it as such, and it says, oh, wow, I need this. And though you're dealing with it in a couple of issues, it's other places in your body that may need it.
That's true.
And so you may find that you get this relief, but the first place you're trying to get it is in the tendon and in that – and that spur.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, those packs you take, like I said, based on body weight. And really, and I hope the other young lady hadn't got off yet, but just give us 90 days. People ask, you know, well, when I got to take this for the rest of my life, do I got to take – you got to make sure that you got the right nutrients in your body all the time. But as far as trying to regenerate or give the body what it's missing, we always say give us 90 days. But that CM cream is going to be your best friend, because you get almost instant relief within a couple of minutes. And it could, and depending on how bad the problem is, it could last for 45 minutes. It could last an hour. It could last 2 hours. It could last half a day. It just depends on how bad it is, but you'll get that relief, and you can use as much of that cream as possible. And the more of the cream you use, the more of it is penetrating into the body and starting to help it heal itself. But that spur on your heel, I know that's, I mean, that's got to be, it's no relief for that because it's inside of your foot.
Yeah.
Or inside of your heel. So
it's not
even like
weird.
You can put a pad or cushion in your shoe. It doesn't matter. It's just, right. Right.
All right, this is Octavia.
Yes, ma'am. I recognize you.
You did.
Oh.
All right. I missed the calcium. I missed the formula you were talking about for the calcium that we need in the body.
And that is when you get the bone and joint pack, and that bone and joint pack has a bottle of what's called Osteo, Beyond Osteo FX. And in that bottle, and this is what bone matrix is and what bone is made of, it's got the calcium, it's got the vitamin D3, it's got the magnesium, it has glucosamine, it has chondroitin, it has strontium. It has all that in the bottle, and it's liquid. You can either get it in a powdered form, which you're going to turn into a liquid, or you can get it already in a liquid form. And in that liquid form, you can take a shot of it, because you're only going to take about 2 ounces per 100 pounds of body weight. So it comes in a 32-ounce bottle. And so and you'll take it twice a day, and you can take a shot of it, or you can mix it in a drink, or you can mix it with some water. But that stuff is amazing, and that's what's going to help feed that bone.
Because
that's exactly what it's missing.
I'll do that.
All right. And you call me or text me if you need any help with anything.
All righty. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Nine two nine. How are you this evening?
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, am I on?
Yes, sir. How can I help you?
Oh, great. This is Artie. I stuck my fist up my ass this morning. I've been having some trouble getting it out of there, and I was wondering how you recommend I pull that thing out.
I appreciate the call. Thank you, sir. You might have to go to
the hospital. I got my fist stuck in my asshole.
All fine. But, okay, family. We're going to go ahead and terminate the call this evening. Getting a little interesting and exciting. We can't tell who's calling in, so we just deal with it how we deal with it. Laugh at it, take it as good humor, and move on from it. But everybody have a good week. Have a productive week, and I look forward to seeing you guys next week. Be back here at 7 p.m. Like I said, if there's anybody who has questions outside of this, or you have other family members that you need, give me a call, 919-599-0916. We'll be more than glad to help. Have a good night.